أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن واسألوا الله من فضله إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما. ولكل جعلنا موالي مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون والذين عقدت أيمانكم فآتوهم نصيبهم إن الله كان على كل شيء شهيدا. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا. وإن خفتم شقاق بينهما فابعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها إن يريدا إصلاحا يوفق الله بينهما إن الله كان عليما خبيرا. We are going through the Surah of Nisa, and Surah An-Nisa, as the title indicates, its title is about women, and the subject today will be again partly about the issue related to women. The first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Do not wish what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a blessing one over the other. Meaning that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given somebody more blessings than you, He has given somebody more status than you, given you something that you don't have, then you do not have the right to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing that for that person. And you should not wish to be in that person's place. Now there are some hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates that, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicates that a person, for example, he sees a rich person donating in charity and he wishes to be like him so that he can donate in charity and he will get the reward for it. So that is permissible. That kind of wishing, that kind of longing, it is permissible. But with the intention of jealousy or with envy to think along those lines, it's not permissible. And if a person thinks along those lines, he's basically questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you made a mistake by giving that person and not giving to me. So this is a very, very dangerous situation to be in. So in the context, in the surah that we're reading, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically addressing the women. Now, there are certain opinions amongst the scholars and the sahaba as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this here. Some scholars say that the women, they were very eager to participate in jihad. And the things that the men could do and the women could not participate in. And because of that, they used to wish that we wish we could be like the men in that respect. That's one version. Another version is that what some of the women came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why do the men get mentioned particularly in the Quran, and why is it that women are not mentioned specifically in the Quran? And one verse which was revealed, which is in Surah Al-Ahzab, which mentions إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, mentioning men, Muslim women, mu'min men, mu'min women, and so on and so forth, just to please the women. But in actual fact, there is a concept in Arabic, in the Arabic language, which is known as the concept of تَغْلِيب, that when the men are mentioned, the women are automatically included in that. So, wherever the wording is used, yes, the wording is masculine, but the women are always automatically included in that. But the women, they've said, why is it specifically that the men are mentioned and not the women. So some scholars say that this verse was revealed because of those questions that those women put in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, there were some questions about the issue of wiratha. And as we know, لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, which we discussed earlier, that a woman gets half of the inheritance of a man. And the reason for that is, the man is obliged to spend upon his family, his children and so on. But the woman, whatever she gets, whether from earnings or inheritance, she gets only half. And these were the questions that were put in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So according to some scholars, this verse was revealed. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Don't wish for that fadl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to other people over you. So these are the various interpretations of why this verse has been mentioned here in Surah An-Nisa. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. For the men, they have a share of what they will earn, and for the women, they have a share of what they will earn. So, each person, man or woman, male or female, they've been given their individual responsibilities, okay, and individual duties. So when that person, with the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will reward me for this, does what they're supposed to be doing, then they will get their share of the reward. Now many women in this day and age, for example, they find it insulting to be called a stay-at-home mom or a housewife. Whereas in reality, there is nothing more honorable than a woman staying at home and looking after her own children. There's nothing more honorable than that. Nothing more rewarding than that. Nothing more that gives more satisfaction and gives a person more happiness and pleasure than seeing their own children growing up in front of their eyes and learning from the mother or the parents. Just think that the days that are passing us by, the seconds that are passing us by, and the children are growing up, and we are not seeing in front of our own eyes the first time they speak, for example. The first time they say mummy or daddy. First time they say the word Allah. They are in the care of a babysitter when the first time these things happen. What kind of upbringing is this? Now, the parents, they should be happy and they should be pleased with having the opportunity to raise their own children and not having to work outside. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when the men and the women, they do what they're supposed to be doing in terms of their duties, then they will each get their reward of the share from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a woman should not feel that men can always go to the masjid and, you know, we, you know, rarely get the opportunity to go to the masjid, or men can go for jihad and we cannot go for jihad and so on. Well, men could turn around and say, well, women can have babies, we can't have babies. What about that? Okay, so this is each and every person, male or female, has been given their own responsibilities, their own duties, and each are important in their own respect. And I always give the example of, for example, a car. A car has an engine and it has brakes. It has wheels. Okay, each part of the car, it runs when the other is working. Okay, if the engine is working, but the brakes are not working, what's going to happen? It's going to be a huge accident. Somebody's going to get hurt. The brakes are working, but the engine's not working, car's not going to run. Okay, so each and everything about the car runs in sync with the other parts. That makes a car go, and that can take a person from A to B. But each part of the car, if it says, you know, no, I don't want to do my duty, okay, and, you know, it basically goes on strike, then there's going to be a catastrophe. Something's not going to work. So similarly is the case with the men and women. Each person has been given their own responsibility, and each person should be honored to have that responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And one of the most honorable responsibilities is that a woman can take care of her children at home. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward her for that, and the honor and respect that is given to a mother, it's unsurpassed. It's much more than a father gets. Okay, we know all of the hadith, we hear them all the time, about more respect given to the mother than the father, and so on and so forth. So Allah says, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. For the men is a share for what they earn, and for the women is the share from what they earn. وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His fadl. Always, if there is a shortage in your life, if you have a need, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. Don't look at other people with jealousy and hatred and envy. Allah is the one who provides. Ask Him to give from His fadl. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will open up His treasures for you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is alim, He is knowing of everything. And we should never feel disheartened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give to us and gives to others. And this is what is meant by this last portion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows everything. That means that Allah knows how we will react if we are given a certain something. If we are given more wealth, maybe we're going to transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maybe it's better for us, our hereafter, that Allah gives us less. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعْبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread His risk for His slaves, then it will be very likely that they're going to make baghawa and they're going to transgress on the earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives risk according to how He wants. And sometimes Him not giving us is more better for us than Him, you know, opening up the heavens and basically showering us with blessings. So Allah in His infinite wisdom knows what is good for us and what is bad for us. That's why إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has more knowledge over everything, and He gives according to that knowledge. After that Allah says, وَلِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مَوَالِيَ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. And for everybody we have left, we have made mawali. Mawali here means inheritors. From what the parents and the close relatives have left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala earlier in the surah mentioned the distribution of the inheritance. Okay, and Islam came and made sure that all of the relatives that were left behind, they were given a fair share of the inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allocated a fair share for everybody, and this is what this verse is also referring to, that everybody was, every person has an inheritor from what the parents and the close relatives leave behind. وَالَّذِينَ عَقَدَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ فَآتُوهُمْ نَصِيبَهُمْ. And those people that your oaths have made a treaty with them, then you give them your share. Now this is referring to something that used to happen in the beginning of Islam, and this was later cancelled out. This was that if a person, for example, he told somebody that, you know, you're my close buddy, you're my close friend, you've been always there for me, and now I love you so much that I want you to be part of my inheritance. No, that cannot happen. They cannot take from the allocated portion of the inheritance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated for the close relatives. Yes, a person can be given from the one third that he has a right and the flexibility to use for any charity or to give to non-inheritors, but a person cannot allocate and put anybody in his inheritance. Okay, so this thing was in the pre-Islamic or the beginning of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to that, that those people that you have promised and you have made a treaty with and taken an oath that you will give them, فَآتُوهُمْ نَصِيبَهُمْ, then give them their share. Other scholars say that when the Muslims migrated from Mecca to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ, he made muakhat between the muhajireen and the ansar. Basically they became like brothers. And because of this muakhat, the person who basically became a brother, he also was included in the inheritance. And then this was in the beginning of Islam, And that also became cancelled out later on. So some scholars say that this is referring to that. Inna Allah kana ala kulli shayin shahida. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is watching over everything. He's shaheed and witness over everything. The next verse, it is a controversial verse which is used by non-Muslims to criticize Islam. And it's very, very important to understand what the meaning of this verse is so that we can explain to people who criticize Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى. The men are responsible over the women. قَوَّامُونَ, in charge of the women. They are the leaders or the amirs of the women. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى. The men are responsible over the women. Now the scholars say that this status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, هذه الآية للتكليف ولا للتشريف. This ayah is indicating the responsibility of a man. It's not indicating the status of a man and the honorable position of a man. So what is it telling the man? He is telling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the man that, O husband, O father, you are responsible for those women who are under your supervision. You are responsible to provide for them. You are responsible to spend upon them. You are responsible to earn and provide for that household in which these women are living. So this is what this verse is referring to. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Because of the status that each one has been given over the other. Meaning, men are stronger, psychologically more stronger, emotionally stronger, physically more stronger. So they have the responsibility to go out and earn and provide for the household. And the next verse says, وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And because they spend from their wealth. And this thing about, and this concept of woman earning and providing for the household, it is quite common, not very common, but it is, you know, maybe 10 out of 100 families are, you know, relying on the woman's earnings. But the situation in which a woman is solely providing for the household, it becomes a very difficult situation for the man. Why? Because a man is proud to be able to provide for his family. And I see many cases where women come and approach me and they say, well, I'm earning for the household, and they're basically complaining that I do this and I go out and I earn and I come home and my husband, he's still angry with me. He's always mad at me. The reason behind that is the psychological, you know, deficiency that a man feels for not being able to provide for his household. Okay? I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a doctor, but it happens in the majority of the cases that the man feels that there is something lacking in his manhood because of the fact that he cannot provide for his family. So, this is the natural thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to men, that they should be providing for the family and they should not be relying on the woman's earnings. And the woman, if she is earning, she has a right to keep all of her earnings. She doesn't have to spend on the family. Okay, so, وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Because they spend from their hard-earned money upon the family, and they feel proud of the fact that they do that. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the man the responsibility. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ. And as for the pious women who are obedient, and حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ, meaning they guard themselves in the while their husbands are away, because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guarded. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when there are such pious women, who are the pious women? They are the ones who are obedient to their husbands, number one. Secondly, that they take care of themselves and protect their chastity while their husbands are away, because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded this. According to a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayrun nisa," who are the best of the women? "Khayrun nisa'i imra'atun idha nadarta ilayha sarratka." The best of the women are the ones that when you look at them, they make you happy. وَإِذَا أَمَرْتَهَا أَطَاعَتْكَ, and if you order them, they obey you. وَإِذَا غِبْتَ عَنْهَا حَفِظَتْكَ فِي نَفْسِهَا وَمَالِكَ, and when you are away from them, then they guard themselves and your wealth while you are away from them. This is the best of the women. This is the best quality of the women that you should be looking for. Okay? When, and obviously, when a woman is obedient and she makes her husband happy, then there is no reason for the husband to dislike her or hate her. But unfortunately, many men, just for the sake of showing their superiority or their strength or their, I don't know, machismo, they want to basically just impose themselves on the women in such a way to show that they are the bosses and they're not going to hear anything from the opinions of the wives, and they feel they're kind of disgraced when they listen to their wives in such a way. Where this is not the case. A harmonious household is that one in which each other's opinions are taken. And major decisions are made after consultation with each other and after taking the opinion of each other. So this is what the hadith says. And there's another hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا, when a woman, she prays her 5 salat, وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا, and she fasts her month, meaning the month of Ramadan, وَحَفِظَتْ فَرْجَهَا, and she protects her chastity, وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا, and she obeys her husband, قِيلَ لَهَا, she will be told, أُدْخُلِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَيِّ الْأَبْوَابِ شِئْتِ, she will be told on the day of judgment, enter into paradise from whichever door you choose. What does that mean? That all of the doors of Jannah will be made open for her. It's not like she needs all those doors, but it is the honor, the status that she gets, that and the respect that she will get on the day of judgment, that all of the doors of Jannah will be made open for her. And that is kind of like, you know, a queen, for example, or a king who has like doormen at every door, and each one of the doormen are eager to do something for the king, and all of them open the door at once. How happy does that person feel? And how proud does that person feel? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is opening all of the doors of Jannah for that woman who has these qualities in her. How honorable will that be? And how proud she will be when she is going to be asked to enter paradise in such a way. There's another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا دَعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ إِلَى فِرَاشِهِ, when a man calls a woman to his bed, فَأَبَتَ عَلَيْهِ, and she refuses, لَعَنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ, the angels will curse her until the morning. Now, this seems a little bit harsh, but the reality is a little bit deep. The reality is that when a person has needs, and a man has needs, and he cannot find them in his own household, then what's he going to do? He's going to look for the haram, and he's going to do something wrong. So instead of that happening, the woman should be pleased to present herself so that the person can fulfill his need. And the opposite also applies. When a woman has a need, and the man should provide that need for the woman. And this is one of her rights. Many people do not understand this right, and they think, you know, Islam is all about what's happening in the masjid. A great part of Islam is the rights that take place between a husband and a wife. Even the sexual relations are something that Islam very clearly discusses in a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ even instructed a man how to make love to his wife. It is not something that is should be regarded as taboo or something that's not discussed. The Prophet ﷺ said that a person, when he is with his wife, he should take his time and not attack her like some kind of animal. So this is something that in this day and age, any person, any doctor will tell you that a man should take his time with his wife because a woman needs more time. But this is taught to us in Islam, but we don't discuss it and we don't even know about it. We don't bother to learn these things. Whereas they are a great part of Islam. So in both cases, when a man needs his wife, then the woman should be willing to present herself, and also the vice versa, when a woman needs, the man should be able to present himself, and there should not be any kind of shame in this kind of aspect, in this kind of discussion, because the purpose of marriage is to protect people from chastity and protect society from immorality. When the person is getting his needs fulfilled in the home, then he's not going to look elsewhere. There's another hadith. A sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Ya Rasulullah, ma haqqu imra'ati ahadina alayhi? What is the right of a woman upon us? Many the responsibility that we have in respect of our women." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An tut'imaha idha ta'imt. When you eat, you feed her. Wa taksuha idha iktasayt. When you get new clothes, you make sure you get her new clothes too. She's dressed in rags and you're dressed in Armani. What? It doesn't make sense. If you're going to buy new clothes, buy her new clothes also. Wala tadrib al-wajh, and don't hit the face. And this is even for animals. You're not supposed to hit the face of even animals, let alone humans. Don't hit the face. Wala tuqabbih, don't insult her. Don't be derogatory. Use derogatory terms towards her. Tuqabbih means قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَكَ, to say words like this. May Allah disgrace your face. That's what it means. So don't use derogatory terms against her. وَلَا تَهْجُرْ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ, and don't leave her, meaning don't stop talking to her, except within the household. So, and there are so many other hadith that we could go into, but really, the main thing is that marriage is made up of understanding what the rights are of the wives. The wives understand the rights of the husband understands the rights of the wife, and making many, many compromises. Because once we make compromises, you know, it shows our love for the person. A true relationship is one based upon these kinds of sacrifices and compromises. And that will result in a happy marriage, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّاتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَاعِظُوهُنَّ وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنَّ فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبُغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. And this is again the controversial part of the ayah. Those women that you fear their nushuz, meaning that is disobedience, فَاعِظُوهُنَّ, then advise them. There's a three-step program here. فَاعِظُوهُنَّ, meaning advise them. First step is advise the wife that what she's doing is wrong. The second step is wahjuruhunna fil madaji, that don't or separate your bed from them. And some scholars even go as far as to say that separation of bed doesn't mean physically separating beds. It means sleep on the same bed but turn your back towards her. Don't have relation with her. So this is the second step. After taking advice, she's not listening. And by this time, she should understand that something is wrong and she needs to straighten herself out, whatever she's doing wrong. And she should be okay with that. And the last step is, وَضْرِبُوهُنْ, and this is the controversial part, that beat the women. Now, the Quran says beat the women, and this is highlighted by any person who's critical of Islam and wants to portray, you know, Islam in a negative light. And unfortunately, many men read this and they take it as is, without understanding the true concept and the true idea behind it. Many men, in many cultures, regard wife beating as part of married life. It's just the norm. And this is completely wrong. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَضْرِبُوا إِمَا اللَّهِ, don't hit the slave girls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith, that how shameful it is for a person that he beats her during the daytime like a slave, and then he fulfills his need with her at night. How shameful is that? This is a hadith. So what does it mean here, وَضْرِبُوهُنْ? The Sahaba understood this and they explained this. And they said, ضَرْبٌ غَيْرُ مُبَرِّحٍ, that it is a beating which is a beating which does not leave a mark. And the Sahaba, they used to explain that hitting with a miswak, with a small tooth stick, with a stick that big. What kind of physical damage can that do? So if a person is hitting, of course, first of all, it is the last step. And even if it is the last step, it is more psychological than physical. And if the woman realizes that it has come to a point where my husband is hitting me, even though it is in this very light fashion, then she would realize that this is the last step and I have overstepped my boundaries. That's why it has come to this degree. So it's all about education and perception and understanding from both sides. If the wife understands that she's done wrong and she has got to a point where she's been hit, then really that something needs to be done. And something, if it is truly her fault, then she should straighten herself out and she should say that, she should basically present herself and say that what I am doing is wrong and I'm not going to do what I have done. And of course, this is really if the fault is the wife's. If the guy is just, you know, wanting to beat her for no reason whatsoever, then of course that is not acceptable in Islam, as we've just mentioned in the hadith. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبُهُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. If they obey you, then don't seek any way upon them, against them. Meaning don't, after that, after they have started obeying you, and there is peace in the household, don't continue to harp on about what happened in the past. Go on in the future and think about trying to mend your relationships. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Almighty and He is Kabir, which means the great. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Now the next step. If the relationships between the two of them are so sour that it does not look like it's going to work out, then what happens? Then two parties will be brought forward. One representative from her side, one representative from his side, and they will be asked to pass a judgment and they will try to work things out between the two. So Allah says, if you are afraid of shiqaq between them, a splitting up between them, then send one hakam, one judge from his side, وَحَكَمَ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, and one judge from her side. And the whole fiqhi and jurisprudic ruling behind that is, what is their responsibility? What is the question is, what are they supposed to do? So some scholars say that these representatives, they even have the right to declare a divorce between the two. If they feel that it's not going to work out, then they would just basically declare a divorce. It's not working out, so let's finish it. But some scholars say no, they don't have that right, and they point to the next part of the verse, إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحِ يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, if they both want islah, meaning a reconciliation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give them tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give them tawfiq, and He will make it easy for that to happen, if they want islah and if they want reconciliation. Some scholars, because of this, they say that those hakam, those judges that have been sent, they are only to try to reconcile between the two. But some scholars say no. They are actually representatives and attorneys from both sides. And they have the right even to decide amongst themselves to perform a divorce and annul the marriage if they want to. So here, there's a difference of opinion among the scholars about this issue. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا. So again, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. If you are afraid of shiqaq, meaning the split between the two, فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ. Send a representative from his family and a representative from her family. If they both want a reconciliation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them tawfiq. So if they truly want to reconcile, then they will work things out. And the people who are sent to judge, they will say who is at fault, and they will tell the person, and that the husband and wife, they are supposed to set the record straight and basically try to work things out between them after the advice of these judges. إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحٍ يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If they want a reconciliation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a tawfiq. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is alim, He is knowledgeable, and khabir, He is aware of everything. So with this we finish, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.